time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting it and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shoot.
Clark in a straight jacket.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King Pickens.
To the sideline, caught, first down.
Woo! What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there? And you didn't invite me? Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter, 2 seconds, one. Launches a three, good if it goes, it does! Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer, sends Clemson into the locker room, up 10, 35, 25.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody, to the Monday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. It is Monday, December 1st, 2025, and boy, are we glad to have you with us here on a Monday. Whew. Just a sigh of relief, in all honesty. I think we all know what the primary topic of itinerary is going to be today here on The Roar. We appreciate everybody tuning in to the program to start your week off right. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. Tigers fans, get in and talk your talk today. Gamecocks fans, get in and tell us what went wrong throughout the course of the season with changes on the horizon in Columbia on the offensive side of the ball, and maybe some changes on the horizon in Tigertown as well that are yet to be seen. But yes, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off and hop right into it here shortly. Clemson 28, South Carolina 14. It wouldn't be the flagship if we weren't mentioning that first here today on a Monday morning. After rivalry weekend, a great weekend down in Columbia for Cade Klubnik, Dabo Swinney, and the Clemson Tigers. And we are excited to break down every angle and element of this one with you guys right here on The Roar. John, I had a great weekend. In all honesty, I've been feeling a little bit under the weather as of late. This was the remedy that I needed, was a Tiger victory over the South Carolina Gamecocks. Feeling like $1 million here on a Monday, and really excited the guys were able to get it done this weekend.
Yes, absolutely. It was, you know, great to see the rivalry renewed and to get on the right side of things again. Order has been restored within the state, and I was very proud and impressed with this football team. Love the way that they went about their business and, you know, really handled everybody signaling how they were number one near the student section during that game on Saturday. I thought Clemson handled the environment well. I thought South Carolina handled the moment poorly. But we'll get into all that today. But I think the first thing I want to say is you want to talk about we always say how the rivalry lingers. Right, a loss like that last year will linger for a while. Well, last year, in the game in Death Valley, Lenora Sellers had 16 carries for 166 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Mm.
In this game, he had 12 carries for 2 yards.
Mm. Tom freaking Allen. That is why you go and you get a big dog on the defensive side of the ball, John. You want to talk about dividends that have been paid? How about these last 4 weeks with FSU being stifled, with obviously Furman being held in check, with Louisville being held to 19 points in their building, and then going on the road to Columbia as well and holding the Gamecocks to 14 points and keeping Sellers under 5 total net rushing yards? That is why you hire Tom Allen. for this four-game stretch right here down the stretch and for moments like this in a rivalry matchup. And with his commentary throughout the course of the week, John, about how there was still a sour taste in everybody's mouth of how that game transpired, you know this was one Tom Allen had circled, and you know the number one priority on the game plan was keep Lenoris Sellers in the pocket. The Tigers excelled at doing such, and the Gamecocks were only able to muster 14 points as a result. What a game plan from Tom Allen in this defense.
And really, they only had like six plays.
Yeah.
That were really worth of anything. I mean, you had... You give credit where it's the first explosive touchdown. Man, that was just good route running by Harbor. You get past the safety with track speed. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
The second play, I don't know if he's still on campus, but if he's not, Jaden Lucas, go goodbye. That was the in a season in which we could do 3 hours just listing poor defensive effort, that was the worst of the worst defensive effort I saw all season long.
Yeah, it was bad.
That was horrible. So you gave them 7 points there. After that, they didn't do squat the rest of the day.
Yeah, and it was really two kind of coverage busts. On the first touchdown for South Carolina, and we'll get into the Clemson, there was some good, some bad, and some ugly. The two touchdowns, this was kind of my analysis and breakdown. The first one, Brandon Strozier should never be on an island with Nick Harbor ever. Brandon Strozier probably shouldn't be on an island with anyone at a power four level playing wide receiver ever. It was covered three. Ricardo Jones got his nose in the backfield, it looked like, or maybe on the other side of the field trying to cheat over and help a little bit. And to Lenoris Sellers' credit, that was a beautiful deep ball. Like, that could not have been thrown better by QB1 for the Gamecocks. So Sellers dropped it in the bucket. But again, Strozier was getting targeted and attacked, which has been a pretty frequent theme throughout the course of the season when he's on the field. Maybe there's a Shelton Lewis-type progression coming for Brandon Strozier, right? And what I mean by that is, if we think back to the Gator Bowl in 2023, Shelton Lewis played one of the worst halves that I have ever seen a defensive back play at the Power 4 level. But he turned it up in the second half, and he was able to salvage it with making that game-winning PBU. And then he came back the next year, and he actually played pretty solid before injury. It didn't necessarily pan out for Shelton Lewis here at Clemson, but I do think he improved after that moment. Maybe there's a moment of improvement coming for Strozier, but they were very clearly picking on him, and that was a part of the game plan, as multiple teams have throughout the course of the season. It is what it is.
I also thought he responded well, though.
I thought he played physical in the run game, yeah.
He was... In a game where you lose Avion Terrell, and you really have one corner from like your starting group for the beginning of the season. I mean, go look at the five you put out in the secondary and the five you have in this game. You don't have a lot of the same personnel. You have Ashton Hampton. Like, this team is just decimated with injury. Yes, you're probably right that he shouldn't be tasked with some of those responsibilities. But when you have Shelton Lewis quit this team, when Avion Terrell gets banged up, when Jaden Lucas is just completely adverse to playing aggressive and meaningful football, who else are you going to play?
Yeah, I get it.
And so I thought when everybody else is dropping, quitting, doing whatever, I thought he answered the call about as well as he's physically able to do.
He gave effort. That much was not in question. He did have six total tackles, four of those for solos, two PBUs, was targeted a ton throughout the course of this game. And, you know, again, you were limited from a personnel perspective because of what your injury situation showcased to you and what the kind of reality of the situation was down in Columbia. On the second touchdown, that was a chunk play for South Carolina. I'm not going to disagree with you, but I didn't necessarily think that was all on Lucas. Like, that was pretty clearly a cover two shell. Lucas could have given a significantly better effort after the ball was caught.
All I'm asking is to get your hands off of the side of your hip,
yes,
when you're a tackler.
Yes, you have to make a tackle.
He didn't do anything to prevent the ball carrier from running unimpeded 60 yards to the end zone.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
No, did he handle cover two correctly? Yes. But it looked like he was trying to play corner with no arms.
It looked like he didn't realize.
It was embarrassing.
Like, the ball got caught, and it almost felt like J.Lew did not realize that it got caught. And in all fairness, like, again, I put we got a couple texts in on number 12, which is Corian Gibson. Corian Gibson took one of the worst angles I've ever seen to the ball in cover two there. Sellers was able to complete the whole shot. They were able to take that all the way to the crib with Vandravius Jacobs, who I thought had a really good game for South Carolina as well. So I would give mutual blame there, but John's 100% correct by saying, for whatever reason, the ball got caught. Lucas turned around and, like, there was just no effort to make the tackle.
It just stood there.
He did not. It didn't look like he realized that the ball was caught. Like, it looked like he was a second slow processing what was happening in real time, which goes without saying you can't have happen in that moment. But it all wraps back to the point that South Carolina ran the ball 19 total times the team for 41 yards. That is not a recipe to win a football game, and especially in a rivalry game. And to Clemson's credit, albeit 3.7 yards per carry isn't some uber-efficient running attack where you were gashing your opponent, Garrett Riley, once again, as he's done the last 6 weeks, did a significantly better job of balancing the equation offensively. 40 carries, 39 passing attempts. This is what the offense should look like in an ideal scenario. And how about Adam freaking Randall, man? Adam freaking Randall. I'm going to take my victory lap here, and I don't do that very often on here. All of y'all were clamoring that this was a wide receiver that did not understand how to play running back, and I pushed back all season for this exact reason. 24 carries, a buck 02, and a touchdown. He had that massive momentum-shifting play with the 10-yard touchdown on third down in the first quarter of this one, or the second quarter of this one, rather. Adam Randall is a freaking dog. And as far as I'm concerned, Adam Randall's a Clemson legend for the selflessness that he displayed to stay here, for transitioning a position where he could have gone and played elsewhere as a wide receiver just about anywhere he wanted to in the country, and then also facing the noise and the music of a disappointing season and just keeping his head down and putting in the work. Adam Randall stayed at Clemson for this type of moment and this type of game. And you know what he did? Absolutely delivered from start to finish. Unbelievable season from RB1 wearing orange. Love Adam Randall and just what he was able to put on display throughout the course of this season. Not to say he's perfect or not flawed or it doesn't come without flaws, but talk about a guy that has played now 12 career games at running back, 13 including the Texas game. He was better than I think anyone could have anticipated this season, John, and Clemson used him as the workhorse back that he is. He's made himself some money in the National Football League is the way that I view it. Somebody's taken a flyer on that young man in day three, and I'm really proud of Adam and the work he's put in throughout the course of this season, because this was exactly why he stayed at Clemson, was to answer the call and carry the bell in a moment like this, and he was freaking phenomenal in this game. I've never seen a Clemson back outside of Travis Etienne, and I guess you could go back to Davis and Spiller, too. There's a lot of guys. But in recent memory, Randall just falls forward, man. The guy gets hit. He's not fazed by it. He's always falling forward. He's always fighting for extra yards. So shout out to 8-Ball. He was fantastic in this game, and he really was able to just be the mainstay for this team throughout the course of the season. And I wish he got the ball more this season, if you want me to be completely blunt and honest with y'all. I wish he got the ball more, because I think that this was an impact player that Clemson could have utilized more throughout the course of the season. But man, so freaking proud of him. And you know what? I'm proud of Coach Sweeney, too, for taking a risk, because a lot of people wanted Gideon Davidson to start throughout the course of the season. And all we saw in the extended carries and all we saw throughout the extended workload is that Randall was not better, but he was significantly better. And he was more efficient as a runner, and he was better in pass protection as well, where he grew significantly throughout the course of the season. Again, not to say that he doesn't come without flaws. He's played the position 12 times ever. But I thought he was phenomenal from start to finish this year, John, and I didn't want to get out of here today without giving some immense flowers and credit to Adam Randall, a true embodiment of what being a Clemson Tiger looks like, in my opinion.
Oh no, he was fantastic and got better over the course of the season. That to me is the big takeaway for him. Is, you know, he was great in this game, but you know, when you look as lost as he was in pass protection and, you know, kind of what to do against LSU and against Troy versus what we saw in the back end of November, it's very impressive. It's a great testament to the young man, someone who will certainly be remembered around here for, in a day in which everybody, and we'll get into it maybe later on if we talk some coaching, only thinks about themselves and do not care about the ramifications of their actions towards others. Big tip of the cap to Adam Randall in the way that he has navigated his college career and maybe put faith in Coach Sweeney and, you know, put faith in Clemson and cared about the paw, and it's, you know, seemed to have been rewarded for it.
Texter gets in, can we find another year for 8-Ball? I'm scrambling the voodoo eligibility rules as we speak. Can we get a hardship waiver? Can we get some medical red shirt? I don't know. Scrape the barrel, find a way to get Adam Randall back here for another year. And I think everybody would be better for it, in all seriousness, though. Just what a career for Adam Randall, fighting through adversity, changing positions, able to cap it off with a big-time rivalry win as a lifetime Tigers fan over the Gamecocks. absolutely phenomenal to see, and that much is for certain. All right, 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. We got Bill and Anderson and a couple others already loaded up on the phone lines. We'll take all your phone calls and text messages, transitioning to segment two, talking more Clemson and South Carolina right after this.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two-stall, three-stall, and four-stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Enjoy elevated living at Sunrise in Pendleton, just minutes from Clemson, starting in the mid-300s. Customize versatile one- and two-story home plans with luxury design selections in their 3,900-square-foot design studio. The pool amenity opens next year, along with natural walking trails. Live close to Lakes Hartwell and Kiwi, shopping in Anderson, and enjoy quick access to I-85. Sunrise encompasses convenience and lifestyle in a convenient location. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com to discover elevated living in the upstate.
Elevate your holiday feast and treat your guests to more than just a meal. Serve them a story of care, quality, and craftsmanship from AMPM Farms Butchery and Market. Bring the farm-to-table philosophy to every cut, sourcing premium meats from local and regional partners who share their commitment to integrity and flavor. Each selection is chosen for taste because your table deserves better than supermarket standards. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, Southern hospitality you can taste.
Winter weather is upon us, so if you're planning a ski trip, a mountain getaway, or just want to be prepared for what Mother Nature might throw at us, make sure your vehicle is ready with a trip to the Pendleton Tire Company.
Be ready to play in the snow like me and my daddy on a new set of tires, the Pendleton Tire Company.
Go see Zach and the team at Pendleton Tire and be ready for winter fun. Call them at 864-646-3694 or visit online at pendletontire.com.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Mail is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch? Not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Mail today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our eight locations. Low Country Mail, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMail.com.
Have you ever wondered if you need an estate plan? David Green hears that question daily, and the answer is always yes. Let David and his team guide you through the process of creating a personalized estate plan to protect your legacy for your family. Today is the day to make that happen. Don't wait another day. Call David Green at 271-7940, that's 271-7940, or visit greenlaw.legal to start securing your legacy today.
What do Clemson and the Citadel have in common? The time-honored tradition of the class ring. Collegiate Legacy Designs created a ring plaque that will carry that same tradition in your office or home to last a lifetime. Proudly handcrafted by Clemson alum Greg Terry and his wife Julie, Collegiate Legacy Designs offers customized ring plaques for your class ring, both men's and women's, and can ship nationwide. Give the gift that will carry your alumni pride at collegiatelegacydesigns.com.
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Ready to shop? Target's Cyber Monday deals are loading now and moving fast. Score 25% off beauty kits for every look and style. up to 50% off clothing and shoes for the whole fam, and 50% off top holiday gifts. Plus, brand new surprise deals you haven't seen all year. Shop on Target.com or in the Target app for free delivery. But don't wait. These deals are 2 days only. Save more on Cyber Monday with Target. Free shipping applies to orders over $35.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Sports talk for people who love sports. Come on, there's no need to complicate things.
It can't be forced. It should just come about effortlessly.
We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Hite continues right here on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to get in. We're going to get to Bill and Anderson here on the phone lines. Bill, good to hear from you. Appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, you know, I had the same initial reaction you did on that busted play where it looked like everybody just gave up real early. But after I watched it on replay, the Carolina player actually came down with his back to both players, and he brought the ball down low. I think both players thought that was an incomplete pass.
Yeah, I agree. I think there was some confusion and some, like, I don't know, lack of ability to see the ball and find the ball, which is a different conversation as to whether that should be a scenario there for the Clemson defensive backs. But there are a couple things I do know on that play, Bill. Corian Gibson took a terrible angle in cover two. Sellers made a really good throw for the whole shot. And Lucas appeared to give up on the play because I think, as you alluded to, he thought it was incomplete. But in a rivalry game like that, it's better safe than sorry, and you need to be chasing after the ball and chasing after the player regardless. So, yeah, you know, I'm not too upset over it because of what the result of the game ended up being and showcasing, but to be honest with you, it was two coverage busts the entire game and a whole lot of nothing for South Carolina. I mean, they stat-padded some yards towards the end of the game, but that was not an effective or an efficient offense by any means or any standard for the Gamecocks on Saturday.
Well, you can't assume it's an incomplete pass. I mean, that's just an unreasonable reaction. You have to follow and find the ball. But I think he failed to do that, but he was convinced in his mind, both of them were, that it was incomplete because it was highly contested.
Yes, I don't disagree with you by any means, Bill. You got to find a way to get the ball and track the ball throughout the course of the play, and that much goes without saying. Yes, I agree. Thank you for checking in, Bill. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Let's talk a little bit more about the Tigers. We talked about what went wrong on defense, but there was a lot of good offensively. If you want to get in on Clemson's offense and their performance, 654-ROAR is the number. We'll go drive chart. That's what we usually do for these type of games, and it's kind of the way that I like to roll through things on the offensive side for the Tigers. But you know, there was a lot of good for this Clemson team. Now, in the first quarter, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows by any means, but this team did a really good job of kind of steadying the tides is the way that I would deem it in the second quarter of this game. There were some offensive struggles early, and it goes without saying that you create the turnover originally and you give it right back on what I would deem, and I don't think this is hyperbolic either, probably the worst two-play sequence of Cade Klubnik's entire career as the Clemson quarterback. To be just completely honest, you miss a wide-open touchdown to Antonio Williams. And I mean nobody within from Pendleton to Columbia around Antonio Williams. It's the perfect call from Garrett Riley. In Cade's defense, to a certain degree, there's dudes in his face, right? There's an undetected rusher that's coming at him. He's throwing off his back foot, but he just sails it. And it's over Antonio's head into the hedges, goes into the stands. You miss one, okay? The next play, you come back. Garrett Riley sauces a play call. This was one of the best play calls all season from GR. Wheel route out of the backfield. Randall isolated on the linebacker. It's money. It's there. P. P4 quarterbacks need to make that throw 10 times out of 10. Again, Cade's not stepping into the throw and driving the ball. If you'd like to say that some of that is maybe because of the ankle injury, I probably wouldn't disagree with you. But he's throwing off his back foot regardless, which he can't have, and he lollipops it a little bit. The play after he puts too much on it, he takes it off of it, and the ball gets intercepted. I bring this up for a key reason, okay? We've been critical of Cade Klubnik this year, and I think a lot of that has been warranted due to some of his play. In that moment right there, something flipped for him. And it's not something we've seen very frequently in his career, if you want me to be completely honest with you. Usually, when you get bad Cade early, there's a snowball type of effect, right? Think about the Miami game down in 2023. There are a couple games throughout the course of this season, like LSU. He's on his butt the first play of the game, and it just never seemed to be right cerebrally for Cade Klubnik throughout the course of that one. In this game, I thought Cade Klubnik did a better job of flushing the early mistake and putting it to a side and just going out there and playing good football than maybe he has throughout the entire course of the rest of his career as a Tiger. I was very impressed with the Cade Klubnik's ability to flush the mistake, put it behind him, and play good football from that point forward, because Clemson responded with 17 points in the second quarter of this game. And a large part of that was Klubnik making big-time throws and big-time plays. You want to talk about rolling on the right on a key third down in plus territory. 26-yard completion to Antonio Williams in a tight window. I thought that was a top 5 to 10 throw of Cade's entire career at Clemson. Was that play? Making it on a bum ankle, getting outside the pocket, outside of structure, and putting it on a dime. You want to talk about the play where the ball hits the ground and he's able to make this miraculous fumble Ruski-esque wrap around the whole defense to the left touchdown play. Cade really kept his cool in that moment. Things hit the fan. He didn't panic, and he found the outlet to get into the end zone. And then in the second half of this game, the most important thing was you have the lead, don't turn the ball over. And there have been moments throughout Cade Klubnik's career where that has been the bugaboo, the turnover bug. He didn't turn it over the rest of the way. You let Sellers make the mistakes, and your defense be the one to make the big-time game-changing plays. And ultimately, that's why you win the game. So, shout out to Cade Klubnik. He had a really rough two-play sequence. And after that, I thought it was 95% good from QB1 for the Tigers, 5% bad. And I was really proud of the way that he responded, because that's not something we've seen very consistently throughout the course of his career. You usually get good Cade or bad Cade, and it's kind of a black and white type of conversation. This was a game where he made a really crucial mistake on back-to-back plays early. He flushed it, and he played really good football from that point forward. John, your thoughts?
I think I agree with most of that. I think one of the things that I was impressed by is he was able to overcome Antonio Williams having a case of the dropsies. And normally when a receiver, particularly the one that he's heavily relying on, is dropping the football, things fall apart in his game. I thought he did a very good job of navigating Antonio Williams dropping some very easy first down passes. I thought he was... He handled the moment well. He was made of the moment. It wasn't too big for him. I did have some trepidation and some worry that coming into this thing that, you know, we talked about it on Friday of how much of your legacy is defined by your record in rivalry games. And I thought Cade answered the call very well, because, I there was certainly some conversation and some doubt that he would be able to make the moment his. But give him a lot of credit for doing so. And, you know, the awareness to pick up that football, make the run completely the other side of the field and get into the end zone was fantastic, and goes to show the type of athlete that he is.
Yeah, Cade made some big-time plays in this one, and it was necessary for the Tigers to end up coming out victorious. 6-5-4 roar if you want to check in. Texter gets in and says, you don't show up in all black for your own funeral. I knew it was a win when I saw that. Yeah, it was an interesting fit from QB1, to say the least. And I liked the cowboy hat. I liked the trench coat. And Cade had some confidence, so it is what it is. Texter gets in and says, Cade looks to be aiming the ball more than naturally letting it rip, which is good on throws that need touch, but others that need to be zipped through tight windows, and he hasn't been making many of those in the last few games. I do think part of that is the ankle injury and the ability that he hasn't had that same back foot to plant on to drive the football down the field. I do think that has to be accounted for with that, but yeah, it goes without saying that Cade has come with his onslaught of flaws throughout the course of this season, and it just kind of is what it is. I mean, you know, he wasn't the player that, and he didn't have the season that I anticipated. And I think a lot of that got thrown off the rails early from a confidence and from a mental perspective. And I think the LSU's game and the failures offensively in the LSU game really put this team behind the eight ball from a mental perspective going forward. But with that being said, to salvage something out of this season, to end it on a four-game win streak in which you get a graveyard tombstone type of win where you win the state championship with the Orange Britches, I was really proud of the way that this group was able to respond throughout the course of the season, and it was really nice to see. Let's get Hayes in Simpsonville in here on the phones. Hayes, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, man. Yeah, I'm just feeling good on this Victory Monday. We can call it a halfway victory, me and you, because our Eagles got literally obliterated on Friday, but we're going to save that for later.
Yeah, goodness gracious, what a terrible team right now.
Yeah, but the biggest thing, and, you know, I had told my buddies this, like I had told everybody this last year, if we had 47 on the field last year, Clemson wins that game with flying colors. What do we have on the field this year as a spy? We did a double spy, and Sellers wasn't able to make plays. Now, granted, he hadn't made many plays with his legs this year, but because teams have kind of figured him out. But when you make him sit back and throw, now, granted, he did almost have 400 passing yards, but if you take away the two busted plays, he had more like 240, 250, something like that. But with Sammy Brown on the field, that's the difference maker right there.
Yeah, I thought the linebackers, you know, number one, I thought the game plan was significantly better this year than it was last year, Hayes, even though you gave up only three less points this year, because Brown was the one that was being tasked with spying the quarterback, and Woodaz was more in coverage. I thought that Woodaz did a really poor job last year of being a spy, but I also think that was also coaching, right? That's who your coach is asking to be in that situation, and Woodaz was just doing what he was asked to be coached to do. Woodaz was phenomenal in this game. He made the two big plays down the stretch with the touchdown saving tackle and then the key PBU, and I think that the game plan that Tom Allen instilled on the defensive side of the ball was much more accentuated to what Woodaz does well on the football field, and I felt like he was put in a position to succeed as well as Sammy Brown was put in a position to succeed. So I think that wraps back to coaching, Hayes, and I think you're completely right. If Sammy was on the field last year, you'd probably find a way to win that game against South Carolina, but I thought that Tom Allen also deployed his personnel in a much better way that accentuated the skill sets of his players.
Absolutely, man. And like you were saying earlier, man, that almost brought me to tears thinking about Adam Randall this year and just the way he just kept pounding. And I think he's turned into a pretty darn good running back, definitely an offensive weapon of some sort. And I told my buddy the other day that, you know, I could definitely see Kyle Shanahan picking this guy up, as much as I hate the 49ers. This is going to be some kind of offensive weapon for some kind of league and a team in the league.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, and I think that Randall, the way that he kind of has this versatile skill set, I will say, he has a long way to go with, like, positional feel and also pass protection, but you can't teach the God-given physicality and the tools that Adam Randall possesses at the running back position. To have a 6'2", 235-pound running back with the ball skills that he has in the air, which are that of a receiver, that's something that's very unique. He's a unicorn from that perspective. He's going to get drafted. The question is where and the question is when, and I hope it's to a Shanahan or a type of guy that uses those pass catchers out of the backfield, because I think that could be a dream come true for Adam Randall as far as an NFL career goes. I'm really proud of him and the work he's put in, and I think this coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for kind of, again, this staff got a lot of things wrong this year from an evaluation standpoint. One thing they did not get wrong was Adam Randall being the best running back on this team. He was the best running back on this team from day one. He finished the season as the best running back on this team, and he deserved every minute of the usage he got throughout the course of this season, Hayes.
Absolutely, man. And I'm going to touch on one more thing, and then I'll take it off the air, but do you think the Eagles, our Eagles, still are in good position? Even despite the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's complicated.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, do you make a change from Petullo? Or I mean, I don't even know if we even have a guy on staff that can call plays, because I don't think the players have regressed in their physical God-given ability. I think it's just, I think it's a matter of scheme.
Yeah.
That's the simple one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'll take it off the air. I appreciate talking to you, Paxton.
Appreciate it, Hayes. Hey, call back in more often, man. Hopefully our birds get it turned around. Goodness gracious, that was a pain on Friday. Thank you, Hayes. Thanks for getting in. Yeah, quick Eagles note. We'll get back to the phones after a break, and we'll get back to Clemson. Predictable downfall for this team, as I've been calling for a month. Again, you can't fraud your way by the way that the Eagles were frauding their way by and expect to get away with it. The team did not visually look the part, which is what I reinforced for this past month, and that their time was coming, and there was an expiration date on this. So, again, the offensive scheme, I'm not a Kevin Petullo blamer because I think that's the lazy takeaway. If you watch this team in 2021, 2022, this is Nick Sirianni calling this offense. This is Nick Sirianni's concepts within this offense. This is Nick Sirianni hijacking the offense. And this all wraps back to the head coach. Petullo's the front man. Sirianni handpicked his offensive coordinator for an internal promotion so he could have more of a say within the offense and what the Eagles are doing. So, yeah, I think it's a scheme problem. I think your quarterback is very, very limited, as he continues to show. And I think the Eagles are in big-time trouble for the rest of the season, as I've kind of articulated this past month. You can't have the highest three-and-out rate in NFL history and expect to be a Super Bowl-contending team. You can't run the ball, your O-line's banged up, you can't throw the ball, and your quarterback does not look comfortable or like he's on the same page as your play caller. So I think the Eagles are in big-time trouble. I still think they're going to make the playoffs and find a way to clinch the division because Vic Fangio's conducting one of the best defenses in football, but even that defense started to show some cracks this past week. We'll talk NFL in the final hour of the program. We appreciate the phone call, Hayes. 654-ROAR is the number. We're coming to Mike, Phil, and Delvin on the phone lines right after this.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we specialize in blown-in insulation. Blown-in insulation provides great improvements to your home's efficiency and comfort while being a great cost-effective option. We also install solar attic fans for temperature and humidity control, reducing your attic temp from 150 to 110 degrees, protecting your home. Right now, you can receive up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. Hurry, call Koala Insulation at 864-867-1779 today.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple: the highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, doubledogvideo.com. Let us tell your story.
When your motors stop, your production does too. That's why companies like EMCOR rely on Industrial Motor Service.
Excellent customer service and highly knowledgeable staff. Taylor and the team are extremely quick to respond with solutions. I highly recommend Industrial Motor Service for all your motor needs.
When your business depends on reliable motors and fast repairs, count on the team trusted by industry pros for decades, Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com to learn more. Industrial Motor Service. Keeping your business moving.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232. And online at GilstrapRoofing.com.
Hey, y'all.
It's the Rocket Roger Clemens here. Spent a lot of time pitching heat. Years later, the pain in my joints remind me of those days, but I'm not looking to sit still, and I definitely am not interested in going under the knife. That's why I chose QC Kinetics.
Not just for elite retired athletes. QC Kinetics gives everyday folks joint pain relief using regenerative treatments that work with your body to help repair joint damage.
No surgery, no long recovery, whether it's your knees, hips, shoulders, or back. My friends at QC Kinetics will help you get moving again so you can get back to doing the things you love.
Meet face-to-face with a QC Kinetics medical professional on a free telemedicine video call today. Find out if you're a candidate.
I trusted QC Kinetics to help me feel like myself again, and I'm proud to recommend them to you.
Call QC Kinetics today and schedule your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Anyone know a good plumber? It's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
It's the holiday season, but it's also the bowl season.
To the 10, to the 5, touchdown!
We'll break down every bowl game throughout the month of December, right here on The Roar.
Final segment of hour number one with Facts and Childress and John Heights here on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines are jam-packed. Ton of Adams & Co. Roofing text line text to get to as well. Texter gets in and says, Facts and watch the end of the Furman-Hofstra game with you on the call last night. Super dramatic stuff. That was the craziest game I've ever called. My voice is kind of shot right now because of a lot of things I've been doing in the broadcasting world on top of being a little bit under the weather as of late, could not stop coughing. It's been absolutely brutal. But appreciate you tuning in. Yeah, penalty kick shootout was crazy. Threw up the whole PK shootout. They've got it on TikTok at NCAA Champs on TikTok if you want to check it out. Or if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's just my name, at Facts and Childress. I threw that up this morning. But yeah, 9-minute penalty kick shootout. Furman takes the victory 5-4. And obviously unbelievable from Doug Allison in his 31st year as the Furman head coach for men's soccer. He's retiring this year. To go out in that type of fashion was unbelievable. Let's get Mike and Anderson in here. 654 Roar is the number. Mike, good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. Quick helpful hint for you very quickly on your throat thing you're talking about. Facts. I'm an old man. I've been around a while. Honest to God, this will work. Try some honey. Lemon juice, warm it up almost as warm as a cup of coffee, and then sprinkle just a little bit of cinnamon on top of it.
Okay.
Sip it, don't drink it, and I promise you, I'll bet you it'll help. So give that a shot.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Honey, lemon juice, okay. And cinnamon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just give it a shot. But I had a quick comment and a quick question, and the comment is something you were talking about. You were talking about how Adam Randall embodies what it means to be a Tiger. I'm going to take that a little bit further, and he embodies what it means to be a college football player, or what it used to mean to be a college football player, because if you look at what he went through, the injuries and all of these things, he could have walked away. He could have transferred. He could have quit. He could have whined, me, I. But instead of doing that, he did what was best for the team. He worked his tail off, and he's become a pretty good running back. And that's what's missing in college football right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is definitely a lot to be said about the loyalty that Adam Randall displayed to this program throughout the course of his career. And I think there's also a lot to be said about the fact that, again, he could have gone wherever he wanted to in the transfer portal and played wide receiver, which is the position he's played for the vast majority of his career. He chose to stay at Clemson. There was no guarantee of a starting spot that came with the position transition. He earned that in camp, which I think a lot of people have kind of misconstrued the narrative on. This was not a Adam Randall is guaranteed to start conversation in the offseason with Dabo Swinney. This was a blank and clean slate headed into the offseason where him, Gideon Davidson, David Ezeamume, and Keith Adams Jr. were all competing for the start. And what I tried to tell you guys based on what I was hearing throughout the course of the offseason was that Randall was going to get 80 to 85% of snaps because he was that much better than everybody during camp. He worked his freaking tail off, man. So big shout out to Adam Randall. And Mike, I love the way you frame that. Adam Randall's are lost in 2025 college football. In a world of Lane Kiffin's, be an Adam Randall.
Yes. Yes. Give me more Adam Randall's. And also, if this young man gets a shot in the NFL and a team is patient enough to keep him around for a couple of three seasons, you combine his work ethic with his wide receiver skills, and now he's learning how to play running back. I'm not going to say he could be a star, but he could have a pretty lengthy career in the NFL, and I wish him the best again because he represents what used to be great about college football. Now to a quick question, and I'll hang up and listen. You were talking about Klubnik earlier, and Cade Klubnik played very well Saturday. And I can go back over his career. The Pittsburgh game, I think, last season comes to mind. Several games where he has played. You wouldn't say, I don't think he would say he is an elite quarterback, but he's played many games or several games where you walk away saying, this kid can play. He's a baller, he can play. But then sometimes he has the hiccups in certain games, and you can pick a few. Is that a mental thing, or how do you describe that? Or explain it, because I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback that can play as well as he plays sometimes and then not play so well some other times. And I'll hang up and listen. I enjoyed the show. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Appreciate you getting in with this, Mike. 654-ROAR is the number. And, you know, not to generalize what Mike's takeaway is, because I do think Cade is a little bit more, maybe for lack of a better term, bipolar with his performances than other quarterbacks. That is also what makes playing quarterback the most difficult position in the sport. Like, look at Bryce Young in the NFL, for example. Bryce Young was the number one overall pick. Bryce Young won the Heisman Trophy. Bryce Young is the most inconsistent quarterback in the NFL. And I say that as somebody that's banged the drum adamantly for Bryce Young throughout the course of his career and tends to be more on the pro than anti-Bryce side. But even the number one pick Heisman Trophy winner is going to struggle with consistency at this position because it's really freaking hard. It's really hard. And I also do think that ultimately, like for Cade Klubnik, some of that can be attributed to mental struggles as well. Because we have seen the ability showcased time and time again, whether it be Texas, SMU, this last game against South Carolina. There have been a lot of instances where Cade has played great football, John. But that consistency is something we never necessarily saw throughout the course of his career for an extended period. And that feels fair from Mike in his commentary.
Yeah, he's a very good but not an elite college football quarterback. And you go watch games all around the country, you'll see a lot more of that type of play than you would when it was 4 or 16 under center here. I think that he shows a lot more normal college football play than, you know, guy who's going to be at the top of the draft, and that's okay. I have no qualms with that. I thought Cade Klubnik put I want to say the final bow on his career because it, based on all the things he's talked, sounds like that's someone who wants to play in a bowl game.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we'll have all those announcements and decisions made later on. Texter got in exactly when we were talking, before we go back to the phones, we were talking about Adam Randall and his professional endeavors. Texter 3801 took the topic I was going to bring up. That's Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
Which means I cannot wait to see Adam Randall in the fourth round with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Arthur Smith is going to have so much fun with Adam Randall.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about a guy that you're going to throw on your kick return unit game one, day one, more than likely. He can be a third down back that catches passes out of the backfield. He can be a guy that you're using on the goal line and in short distance because he's physical and he's bulky. He can create mismatches in the passing game against linebackers and maybe even smaller defensive backs. I think Adam Randall's going to be playing football for a long time on Sundays. I don't know if he's ever going to be a feature back, but I mean, how many guys do we see stick for 10, 15 years in the NFL because they're just good at all the other things and they're versatile?
Isn't he just like a really big Kenny Gainwell?
Yeah, he is.
And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all. He's doing quite well in that Arthur Smith offense right now.
Kenny Gainwell is getting paid to play football still. And he has been for 5+ years professionally. That ain't a bad thing to me, John. That's not a bad thing at all. I think Randall is a guy that's playing on Sundays for a while, and I think that his fit is going to be scheme dependent and coach dependent. But I'm interested to see how everything shakes out. Let's get Phil in Charleston in here. Phil, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you for getting in.
You bet, guys. Enjoying everything this morning. Good show going on. So I called in. I was going to touch on Dabo's ability to keep this locker room together. We all hear culture, and Dabo leans heavily on that, just as we all know. But I think this year's more evidence of that than ever. He could have easily been a Florida State situation, right, where the team basically quit on him. But the culture didn't let that happen. And I think that – so you guys made a point earlier about the fact that maybe missed on some evaluations of player talent on this roster. What they didn't miss on the side of the fence where the players really were bought in. Even looking at T.J. Parker and Peter Woods, they showed up on Saturday, and maybe they haven't showed up all season on every play. And there's, you know, several of the guys that we look to be the leaders actually did show up this week, and then some of the ones that we expect to be, the Antonio Williams and so forth, are always there. So I was really impressed with that. I don't know whether it was all Dabo, whether it was kind of player-led, but they didn't quit, and they could have easily acted in about 6-7 weeks ago, and I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah.
And one other thing on Adam Randall. Yeah, the kid is just in interviews and everything like that. He is exactly what you guys are talking about, and the fact that I don't think he'll have a career as a full-time running back, I think that will actually lead to a longer career. Yeah, if he went in to be RB1 or RB2 or whatever it might be, their shelf life is pretty darn short these days. So the fact that he could be a utility player probably will give him a longer career. And he has Dabo to thank for that, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Phil, call back in more often, man. You're 100% on the money on everything right there.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for getting in with us, Phil. Seriously, call back in more often. 654-ROAR is the number. And yeah, I think Phil's commentary about Dabo Swinney's ability to keep this locker room together in times of adversity is 100% accurate. And I think when you look at what Clemson could have done down the stretch as far as rolling over and dying goes, you see a lot in college football. Look at Florida this year. Look at Florida State last year. Look at South Carolina this year. These are all teams that have college football playoff type expectations coming into the season. And when things got tough, you saw people start to opt out. You saw people start to hit the transfer portal. You saw people start to, you know, give lack of effort at times. And it's not to say that Clemson has been perfect throughout the course of the season by any means. That's not what the angle and what the slant is here. But it would have been very easy for this group at multiple different junctures this season to roll over and die and to say, no, you know what? This isn't for me. We had national championship expectations in the preseason, and we really want to find a way to, you know, just hit the portal, keep my eligibility, whatever it may be. So nobody on this team did that, and I'm proud of them for that, from that perspective. I think they did a really good job throughout the course of the season of staying aligned as one and staying aligned as a group, and I'm really excited about what the future holds here at Clemson because of what Dabo Swinney was able to do from a culture standpoint. Let's get Delvin in here real quickly before a break. Delvin, we got like 2 minutes, but wanted to get you in here before break.
Yeah, speaking on that, a couple things. Speaking on that, do we still see changes coming to this program for a staff goals?
Yes. I think there's going to be changes on both sides of the ball to the coaching staff. I don't have any information. I don't have anything specific.
Mickey already said it, been one of the secondary. He said Tom Allen's son was coaching the secondary. That's one change that he said. I don't think that's a permanent change, but we've seen that already, that it was Thomas Allen coaching the second day. That's kind of interesting, too. So that tells you that he's probably going to be making some changes. And, two, John, how you feel South Carolina trying to take your offensive coordinator at East Carolina, man? What's up with that?
If they want to go for that, that's fine. But I'm sure Shane Beamer will find a tight ends coach somewhere that he likes a little bit more.
Yeah, this is Ole Miss could go out there with Pete Golden as defense coordinator. And
I think if he goes to the SEC, he would go rejoin Pete Golding's staff down there for
sure. And kudos to Keith Carter, man. I like what he did to Lane Kiffin yesterday. Y'all can talk about that story, how he tried to get him an ultimatum, but it backfired on when he hired Pete Golden, and Pete Golden told him to get out of my office.
Yeah, we will get into all of the as the world turns in the yes. SEC at some point here in today's show. That, yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah, y'all can talk about it. I was trying to talk about that when Pete Golden told him to go home and get out the office. You ain't here no more.
Yeah. Well, Delvin, we got to take a quick break.
But we'll, my call, guys.
I promise we will get to the Real Housewives of the SEC in the upcoming hour. I can assure you of that. Listen, I've been an advocate for Lane Kiffin. I have. I like Lane Kiffin. I think that like has turned into liked. I think this is where I'm drawing the line in the sand. I lost a lot of respect for Lane Kiffin with the way he conducted himself throughout the course of this process. We'll talk more Tigers and Gamecocks. We'll talk more rivalries, and we'll talk Lane Train in hour number two with Faxon and John.
WCCPF.